Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Parenting Aces radio show on Blog Talk Radio's UR Tennis Network. I'm your host, Lisa Stone, and yes, I am coming at you from Atlanta, though I will be headed over to Athens for the NCAAs as soon as we go off the air today. I'm missing the women's doubles for the semis today, unfortunately, but that's all right. I will be there in plenty of time for the singles. And for those of you following the championships, I urge you to follow Zoo Tennis and NCAA Tennis 2014 on Twitter for up-to-date scores between now and the time I get out there. Of course, once I get to Athens, you better be checking out Parenting Aces on Twitter for my updates and all the photos and great interviews I've been getting over the past several days. So for those of you tuning in to the championships, I hope you're enjoying my coverage, and I'm having a blast out there and learning so much about college tennis and what it means to compete at that level. But our guests today are here to talk about junior tennis, not college tennis, so I'm going to put my junior tennis hat back on for a little bit. And we have on the line with us Steve Huber and Dave Archer, both of whom have recently hosted tournaments under the Junior Grand Prix tennis umbrella. And for those of you who are loyal listeners to Parenting Aces, you might remember that I had Molly Schwartz on a couple months ago discussing Junior Grand Prix tennis. It is an alternative to USTA junior tournaments and provides just another outlet for our kids to compete in a tournament setting. Junior Grand Prix tennis has its own ranking system, its own rating system, its own tournament structure, its own sanctioning, and I'm using that word sanctioning in quotes because it's very, very different from what we're all used to with USTA and ITF. So without further ado, let me bring Dave and Steve on the line. Guys, are you with us?
Yes,
yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to the show, and thanks so much. I know y'all are exhausted from your weekend activities and so busy with your weekday activities. I feel your pain. I had a late night at the NCAAs last night and am anticipating another one tonight. But I'm so grateful that you are here with us and can chat with us about your experiences hosting these Junior Grand Prix tennis events. Both of you have experience in hosting USTA tournaments as well for juniors. So I'd like to start with, and let's just start with Dave. Dave, maybe you can talk a little bit about how Junior Grand Prix tennis hosting differs from USTA hosting in terms of your role as the tournament director and also in terms of the experience that the players and their families have.
Well, absolutely, Lisa. Thanks for having me on the show today. I just wanted to say thanks. My son Justin plays for the University of Utah tennis team, so I'm very familiar with the collegiate level, and I hope that that's where we're headed with all this because it's so much fun. But the USTA system of tournament experience and the JGPT tournament experience are different, and the reason is when you're playing a USTA event, you really do need to be pretty proficient at the sport. I know Rogi is going on, and that's a wonderful thing, but with the JGPT system, they have a category called starter, and what that really means is you have absolutely never played a tournament before. And we had, out of 34 kids yesterday, we had 22 of these kids that had never played a tournament before. And I think that's one of the major differences. One of the other differences is JGPT is mostly all round robin. So these starters that have never played get to play three or four other young kids that have never played before. Where at the USTA, if they played a tournament, there could be a possibility they'd only play one or two other kids.
Right, right. And Steve, can you add to that at all?
Well, Dave did such a great job of starting out. Dave, I would have to agree on everything you just said on all fronts. I'll even add to the point that what I have found hosting a Junior Grand Prix event is that I have a lot more opportunities to interact with the parents themselves. I think that during the course of a USTA event or a USTA tournament, you kind of have an ebb and flow of energy. You have a lot of energy in the very beginning as things are getting started. Kind of have some downtime where things kind of plateau, and there's that possibility sometimes to get a little disconnected with what is going on. And when we're doing a Junior Grand Prix event, I would say that energy level is steady and it is very intense. And I think that really gives us an opportunity as tournament directors not only to be communicating with the parents on what is happening, but I want to piggyback on what Dave said, which I think is great about this, is that every kid not only gets an experience playing every participant in the tournament, but those are potential parents, again, that are interacting with one another. So I believe the synergy is complete when parents and kids and tournament directors are all be able to communicate on the same page. So that's what I found to be a huge plus for Junior Grand Prix.
Sure, sure. It's interesting. I had the opportunity to interview one of the University of North Carolina, excuse me, not University of North Carolina. She's from North Carolina. She plays for Stanford University. Oh, she'll kill me if she hears me say that. she plays for Stanford, but she's from North Carolina. Let me clarify. Taylor Davidson, I interviewed her the other day, and I asked her about what piece of advice she would want to share with junior players who are aspiring to play college tennis. And one thing that she said really jumped out at me, and that is to have fun. And she said that in her junior tennis experience, there were several years along her route that she really was not having fun because she was under so much stress and so much pressure to get those ranking points and, you know, to progress through the tournaments. And I just would love to kind of throw that idea of fun out to the two of you and ask you, because I've written about this a lot too, what does Junior Grand Prix tennis do differently to ensure that the participants, not just the kids, but the families, are having fun out there? Dave, you want to start?
You want to get started on that one? Or?
Go again?
Do you want to start on that one, Dave? You want me to take that one?
Why don't you go ahead, Steve? I'll come in. I have a few things to say about that. That's a great question.
Absolutely. Well, I'll just start off by saying this. I think that the way Junior Grand Prix designed the actual round-robin format, I think fun really gets inserted into that because there's so many different experiences that the kids have. They could have a very tough opponent one round and go immediately to a totally different level or a different opponent the next round. And I think the way that translates into fun is you get a variety, almost a smorgasbord, of different players within the division. So when someone comes off the court, I think it creates more of a camaraderie with the kids because there's more mutual encouragement going on with the other kids. Because when two kids have played each other in a format, I think when they get done and have the opportunity to talk to each other after they play, it creates more of a team format, a team atmosphere. I think any time you feel like that you have other people that not only you're playing against, but people that you've actually have some commonalities in or at least some further interactions with, I think that's always going to translate into fun. And even the word, how they design it, the word starter events, this is specifically designed for someone who maybe has some of those fears, some of those anxieties in the very beginning to actually experience this. And from the very first foundational moment right there, they immediately associate tennis equals fun. If you can get that foundation right away in this format with a round-robin format playing many different people, I think that the association will go deeper as they progress through their tennis career. So that's where I really think the fun starts. If it starts at a ground level, that's going to be the foundation. It's going to build up to higher levels.
Great. And Dave, can you add to that?
I sure can. You know, we're right in the midst of authoring a book called 8 Weeks to Tournament Tennis. And chapter one is plant the love of the sport in their hearts first. And I think I want to be careful about this. I ran a Rogi tournament in Texas, and we didn't have, I think we had 4 participants in each age group, I think, and it was in it was in Austin, Texas. And what ended up happening in the tournament is we had a semifinal and then a consolation, so they got to play 2 matches, and the winners played a semi and a final. So they got to play 2 matches. One of the kids that won the tournament, we didn't get to talk to about losing, where the other child who lost once or twice, we were able to talk to about losing. I love the round-robin format, and in 8 weeks the tournament tennis, when the kids become intermediate, they play round-robins every single day. They're at our club for 45 minutes at the end of the teaching so that they can get used to competing. Kids love games. They absolutely love this competing format. But we are able every single day to teach these kids about losing. We have to remember that 128 professionals play the French Open, and 127 of them lose. The key teaching to kids then should be how to lose properly. In the round-robin format, they get 5 or 6 chances during that tournament to be talked to and shared with about losing. And what we tell them is, never put your identity together with whether you won or lost. We can't have your identity yoked to that. And I think the round-robin format is really the key to greater junior tennis in the United States. The reason is they like it. They can get used to it. They play more matches. They learn how to lose. And then victory becomes just a great icing on top of the cake instead of the cake itself.
That's an interesting way to look at it. And, I mean, you know, there's been a lot written about the value of losing, and learning how to learn from your losses is also a skill that our kids need to have. And I think that's great that they have that opportunity with you guys. So when you host this event, have both of you hosted similar types of Junior Grand Prix events, or have you hosted different levels? Maybe you can share that with us.
Well, when we hosted ours was yesterday, there were 6 different levels, and that's what I love about JGPT. I can customize my tournaments to the kids who are coming in instead of having them customize it to come in. In other words, a parent, when a child is 12, 13, or 14, 15, they have to make the decision of which draw to play in. I get to customize the draws so that we can have many more divisions. Classic example, yesterday we had a 12 competitor and a 12 starter on the same day.
And explain what that means, competitor and starter.
The starter is reserved for those kids that are first learning how to play tournaments. The competitor is the second level in the JGPT concept. It's another level up. These kids have already known how to play tournaments, and it's just the next level. There are 4 levels in that. So we had a starter, and then we had the very next level up going on at the same exact time.
And just to clarify, a junior can play in a level above, but they cannot play down a level, correct?
That's correct. Once they have a ranking in the competitor division, they can't go back and play starters.
Okay. And so let me just kind of take us back a little bit and give some basics on how JGPT works. You sign up your child. You register your child on the Junior Grand Prix Tennis website and determine their level of entry into the system. So not every child is going to come in as a starter. They may come in at a higher level if they have experience playing tournaments already, correct?
That's correct.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and so then they earn their way through the levels by competing, and they earn rating points, though, not just by winning matches, but based on the score of their matches. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, I believe you are. It really gives them incentive that every game counts in the process. Every single game alone counts. Is that kind of what you thought, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if Molly's somewhere on the line, she can answer all that much better than we can.
Well, we touched
but
on
that's
that
the way it works.
In our last interview, so I don't want to stay on it too long, but I just want my listeners to understand that unlike the USTA ranking system, which is based solely on outcome, whether you won the match or lost the match and how far you get into a tournament, the Junior Grand Prix Tennis rating system looks at the specific score of each match and assigns a value to that to rate the player as they move up through the system from the starter level.
You are absolutely right.
That's absolutely correct.
Absolutely correct.
You said it perfectly.
Okay, good. And I think that's a really important distinction.
It is.
Similar for those who have heard about universal tennis ratings, they use a similar type of rating system in that they are looking at score, not just outcome. And, you know, one of the things that is being discussed a lot in the junior tennis world is focusing on process rather than outcomes. And it's a challenge as a parent to not just look at, oh, did my kid win or did they lose, but rather, you know, how did they do against an opponent? Did they put up a fight? Did they make the opponent earn the victory? You know, how did they handle themselves on the court? How was their behavior? How was their mental state? How was their temper control? All of those things. And,
right.
You know, learning from that. So can the two of you maybe talk about what you're seeing on the court in terms of on-court behavior of the players, but also the sideline behavior of the parents? And how it may or may not be different.
I'm sorry, you know, I'll grab that one real quick.
Yeah,
I have noticed that when, just from a psychological perspective, that's kind of, I have two lives. I'm a tennis director and a psychology professor. And one of the things I noticed right away with the attitude of the kids is if they truly believe that after the game's over, an individual game's over, that there's a blank slate, that I get a do-over, hit the reset button on the next game, that gives them added incentive to compete for every single game. And I think that psychologically, when you look at the score and look at what the possible outcome is going to be in a match, that can actually play negatively on the child, and I think negatively on the parent too as well. But when a child actually believes that the more I fight through this and persevere through an individual game or individual set or an individual match, they take this from the bottom up, and they realize that every single thing I do, every point is important. And I think when they can assess and see the value of each point, each game, each match from that point on, I think the learning process is much, much bigger on a more grand scale. Because if we have those attitudes and we're reinforced to believe that this individual game counts just as much, we're gonna place much higher value on the match itself. And I've definitely seen that with the parents. I think it's changed the attitude of the parents, and along they reinforce that with their kids, helping them to understand and translate the system a little bit. So it is a very easy system and very duplicatable system.
Right. And I mean, with one of the things that popped into my brain when I first heard about Junior Grand Prix tennis is, oh, this is more of kind of a recreational type of tournament structure. It's not for the serious tennis players. It's not for the kids that are aspiring to play Division I college or to turn pro. This is for those kids. We have in Atlanta, the Atlanta Lawn Tennis Association, ALTA, which is a huge, huge, huge citywide league. And you know, we kind of differentiate the kids who play ALTA versus the kids who play tournaments. And so that was kind of my warped sense of things when I first read about Junior Grand Prix tennis. I now know that is indeed a warped sense of how it works. Can you guys talk about the attitude of the kids coming into your event, what they say is their goal with their tennis, and how Junior Grand Prix tennis might facilitate them reaching those goals?
Well, I have to be honest that after seeing the JGPT system and revamping our after-school clinics a little, when we do our round robins, we do a total of points for the kids, and then every single point counts because we rank them based on added scores. So they realize that every single point counts. And I think the JGPT tournament format, just like Steve was alluding to, makes it so that every single game counts. But at the same time, if every single game counts and every single point counts. And when these kids begin to realize that, and when they begin to realize that when they walk off the court, they've given all their effort, and they are going to be rewarded for all that effort, not just be kind of thrown aside as a number who lost to a one seed again, if I can be really honest, they realize, you know, I may have lost to the one seed, but it was 6-3, 6-3. I got 6 points during that match. I got 6 games during that match. They start to see that their tennis future has to do with their ability to get better and not their ability to be absolutely perfect that match. And I think we always teach our kids, we strive for perfection so that excellence can happen. And I'm not sure in the other ranking system that we're striving. In striving for perfection, we don't get anything when we lose. And I don't think that's the proper teaching for kids. And I think when kids understand, we don't call them losers, we call them learners. When you're a learner in school, you don't have to be the top of your class. You're still going to graduate. You're still going to get to those goals that you set when you were in kindergarten, first grade of graduating. And I think it's the same type of thing for JGPT system.
So playing devil's advocate here, I would say to you, well, that just feeds right into this whole notion that our American kids are soft, because we've even taken away the concept of losing. God forbid a kid should be the loser. They're now called a learner, so that's making our kids soft. How are we going to compete on the world stage? What do you say to that?
I say that the kids are soft because tennis, through the systems that are now, have the wealthy kids becoming the ones that we are going after. And I want to qualify what I say. It's very difficult for the pool of children across the United States, for those that are less advantageous in their finances, to be able to play all the tournaments. When we talk about losing and winning, we are not softening the loss by doing round robins. We're giving more of a reward for the loss. I don't think that builds softer kids. I think it builds stronger. But as far as American tennis, we could get into the whole discussion of who are our top players and what money level they came from through society. It has nothing to do with the structure of the tournament that we're soft.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Just to piggyback, Dave, that was well said. I really think that even if you look at it from a goal aspect, even the life coaches and corporations, what they really model is a system of if you want to be excellent and successful, you just got to set for yourself short-term goals. that if you're in a tournament situation and all you have is long-term goals and you don't have the action steps and the short-term goals to accomplish it, I would say that would produce softness, because it would give the child a very easy out and say, no, I don't want to do this. This is too difficult. But if you make them go through a process over and over again, get to the short-term goal, reach that, take the next action step to the next goal, to the next goal, I actually believe that builds more perseverance, and that actually builds more character in the process. Because what we try to preach, and I try to preach for the kids, is this is a self-improvement program with a huge back-end compensation for you, and that is reaching the ultimate goal that you have set for yourself.
That's a great answer. Thank you to both of you for that. So you do have goal setting as part of this whole process. What type of support do you as tournament directors get from Junior Grand Prix Tennis in terms of providing education to the players and the families about the different pathways available to them in tennis? You know, and what kind of support do you get specifically when you're running an event?
That is a great question. You want me to start that one, Dave?
Well, I can answer the event support. Why don't you answer the first part of it?
Okay. I was actually going to touch up on just the atmosphere with the parents and the support mm-hmm. just within the tournament. From a micro-level perspective, when I'm actually running a tournament, huge support. I mean, huge support. And I'll translate that in a couple different concepts. Number one is parental support. I cannot tell you how many times that, and I've never met these parents, I've never met these kids. This will be a first-time experience. I cannot tell you how many times I'll have a parent run out and just kind of fill in and cover a gap real quick. That might have been created by, we might have had a difficulty in a first round setup. A parent that would just step up to the plate and immediately would be there. I think the system from its foundation, from the very beginning, has lent support not only for the tournament directors, but I think that everybody around in that atmosphere, after experiencing a few events, realizes that when you see an opening, step up and cover that gap. It's almost like a nonverbal language that's being spoken right now. And I wouldn't even ask in the very beginning, but it just happens. And that is something I have not seen in the past before. And I still get, going through tournaments myself and playing college tennis, not witnessing that, I'm actually having to relearn some things myself. The system is actually training me as a tournament director, not only to be a better tournament director with the support system, but actually being just period a better coach, whatever it is, better parents, and just understanding all those things, how everybody just steps up right away when there's a gap.
And Dave, do you want to add?
Yeah, I'll add about the event. I was amazed. You know, the people register. They register by joining the JTPT online, and then they register their kids in the tournament, and they register under the divisions that they think they should go, and the site itself creates the tournament format for us. Now, we have a say-so in that, and we have the liberty to run the tournament once the groupings are made any way that we like. And what I liked about it is I knew my kids. I knew the exact division that my kids needed to be in because we work on that every day out on the courts together. We have a river at our club that flows from beginning all the way up to what we call Cat 7, the Countryside Academy of Tennis 7. So we have a river flowing, so every child knows where they go. But the exciting part is that the tournament site does almost all of that for you. You don't have to touch any of the monies. You don't have to make a ton of calls to people. The only thing I did was help a few parents understand a few things online while they were registering. It was very simple for me to run the tournament, and it was very exciting. They give all the support you need.
That's great. So have either of you run a a challenger or a champion level event yet?
I have not yet. We are in the midst at our club, like I said, of 8 weeks to tournament tennis, Lisa. And so what we have done is through our neighborhood, they all know that if their children have never played tennis, that they are very, very, there's a high possibility that their child can play tournament tennis in 8 weeks. And so the level of our club, I only took over last June 7th, has been to build up a ton of starters. And like I said, we had 22 starters in the event the other day out of 34, and most of the competitors came from other clubs. So being a young club, we're really happy with a starter and competitor right now. But as you can see with our river, these kids are looking to the other two levels, you know, to attain, which allows them to set small goals to attain the bigger goals. So I'm excited about it.
Okay. Steve, I'm going to come back to you on that one because we have a caller on the line that I know only has a short time to spend with us. We have a caller from area code 321-689. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes. Andre, this is you. Yes, Andre Brown?
This is me, yes. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for calling in today. And I understand that you're hosting a very different type of tournament. I guess my question was well-timed. Yay me for figuring that out. Because I was just asking these two gentlemen if they had hosted some of the competitor or challenger events. But maybe you can talk about what you're doing with JGPT and the types of events you're hosting and the level of player that is signing up for those events.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be launching what we're going to be calling the Academy Series. And this is primarily focused on the higher levels, the challenger level and the
champion.
The champion, there you go, the challenger, yeah, and the champion level. Primarily what the situation is that, first of all, I really want to throw it out there that the JGPT system is tandem to the invention of the wheel. Okay, it is something that has been needed in the game for so long. Because the best part of it is that every single match counts, every single game counts. And there's never been a ranking system that has taken into taken into consideration each player and everything that they bring to the table. What it also prevents is from players dodging other players because they're trying to protect their ranking, trying to get into certain tournaments.
This puts you in
a position where every single game you play, it counts and it matters towards your development and towards your ranking. The other thing that the system does is that it pairs the players towards the right level of competition to where their development is. So you won't have a player that, you know, is at a starter level competing with a champion level, which, you know, tends to happen very often in the USTA tournaments. But again, back to what I'm primarily doing, I'm targeting now the higher level players. Florida is the tennis capital of the world. We all know that. And players come in from all over the world to train here. Unfortunately, another thing that the USTA does is that because they have restrictions on certain people playing certain tournaments, particularly if you're not U.S. citizens. But it's also unfair to them because they spend a substantial amount of money and time here training, and they can't compete. And what JGPT has now done is created a situation where these players are not just here competing. You know, they're not just here training, but they have the opportunity to compete. And more importantly, the whole thing that we're trying to do with the Academy Series is to bring all these top players that are staying right here in the state and that are training here in the state so that they can compete against each other. And the best part of this is that when they leave and they go back to the various different countries that they come from, they can take their ranking with them. So nothing is wasted. No time is wasted. You know, they can come here and train. They can go back to their country. And the coaches, They can see exactly what they've done. They can see who they played, when they played, how they played, and see what their ranking is. And they can continue to work on their ranking right where they are, whatever respective parts of the world that they're in. So that's the whole purpose of what we're trying to do. And again, it's not exclusive, and this is one of the things that I truly love about this system, is that it's totally inclusive. Nobody gets left out. There is a space, there's a slot for everybody, both U.S. citizens and all, you know, the players that come here to Florida to train year-round. Did I cover everything?
So let me just ask you, Andre, will you have a limit on the draw size, or would you just have multiple draws if necessary? If you, let's say you have 100 kids that want to play one of your events, how are you going to select them and place them into the draw?
Well, again, right now, we're for this year in doing the Academy Series, we are going to limit the draw size to probably, you know, a 120 draw. As the programs build, one of the things that I want to do, in addition to complementing the great ranking system and the great player system that JGPT has developed, I want to create a tennis environment that is equal in a junior player's mind to the experience that they would have when they turn on the TV and they see the pros playing in the Grand Slam tournaments. I want to give them a great tournament experience. Based on that, the numbers might grow, you know, and when it gets to that point, I think we'll take a look at it then in terms of how we're going to open the draw. But right now, we want to keep it, you know, close to what the system is. And, you know, as big as the draw, you know, we want to cap it off probably at 120 for now, for the first year, depending on how it develops as we go along.
And will your draw also be a round-robin format, and over how many days?
No, we will not be doing a round-robin format. Again, we'll be doing a regular feed-in. We'll have a main draw and a consolation draw. I want to run it over a three-day period, a 3 to 4 day period possibly. Again, we want to foster the experience, which is similar to the Grand Slam tournament. Because, you know, right now, part of the problem with the system, especially with the USTA system, is that the experiences that these kids are getting are very vague. And, again, their point of reference is what they see on TV. Their point of reference is, you know, what is Roger Federer doing? What is Nadal doing? What is Sharapova doing? What is Serena doing? You know, they turn to the tennis channels and they see all the various different experiences that they're going through. But yet, when they come back to their tournament, it's very blasé, you know. So in addition to the lack of encouragement that they get, you know, if they're playing a player that is much better than them or a lot less, you know, a lot worse than they are, some of the way how some of the USTA tournaments are being run right now, you know, it's very kind of hostile, and the experience is just not positive. And what we want to do, we want to promote, we want to present the kids with an experience that when they walk away, they want to play again next week. When they walk away, they're like, okay, wow, you know, I see what it feels like to be a Sharapova because this tournament, my whole experience in here was so great. Let me continue to play the game. And I think this is one of the goals of JGPT, but more specifically what I'm trying to do with the Academy Series.
Okay, let me once again play devil's advocate because it's really fun to do that.
No problem. Bring it on.
So I have two questions that pop into my head as you were talking. The first is, you say the events will run 3 or 4 days. Does that mean that kids are going to be required to miss school, or are you catering only to kids that are doing homeschool or virtual school so that they...
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely okay. not. This is why what we're doing
part.
Is...
Andre, let me ask my second part, and then I'm gonna shut up and let you talk. The other the other piece of it is another huge issue in USTA events, and from what I hear, and I don't live in Florida, so this is all hearsay, from what I hear, it's especially bad in Florida, is the issue of cheating. So
yeah.
I would love to have you address the issue of school, missing school,
mm-hmm.
and also controlling the cheating behavior.
Okay, number one, in dealing with the missing of the schools, We have spent a tremendous amount of time looking at the calendar. Well, to answer it point blank, no, there will be no missing of any schools.
Okay.
We're scheduling our tournaments around the school calendar year. A lot of our premier events are going to be held during the summertime when the kids are out of school anyway. But no, we are not just, again, we are not exclusive, we are completely inclusive. So we've taken a tremendous amount of time and very meticulously picked the dates of the weekends that we're running these tournaments so that there's no conflict with school at all. Number two, to address the cheating, in our events, we're going to have our officials. In fact, one of the things that I want to do with the Academy Series, as I've explained before, that I want it to mirror the Grand Slams, the actual Grand Slams that the kids turn on the Tennis Channel and they see and they watch every day. Part of that is having enough officials there. So we're in the process now of selecting officials that we're going to be training, that we're going to be, you know, giving them a rule book that they have on hand. We're going to be very stringent in terms of, you know, behavior, in terms of cheating, so that there's an official there that is addressing it immediately as it happens. Part of the problem with a lot of the USTA tournaments that I've attended over the past 20 years around the country is that they usually have roaming officials. So usually when an infraction occurs, they're not there to see that, you know, what actually took place. So it's basically, you know, he says, she says situation, and usually, you know, one person comes out on the wrong side of that type of judgment call. What we want to do is to have officials on all the courts, okay, where, you know, if we have a series of five or six court blocks, you know, we'll have three or four officials that are specifically assigned to those courts so that they can be roaming right there so that everyone is on top of each court to prevent the kind of cheating situations that occur in the game right now.
Great. Well, that's very comforting to hear, and I don't know if you saw, but a few months ago I actually did a poll on ParentingAces.com asking parents if they'd be willing to pay more in entry fees to ensure enough officials were on site to eliminate these problems. And overwhelmingly, the answer was yes. Parents would
absolutely
be willing to take whatever it takes, and they want fair competition for their children.
Because again, that's part of the experience for the kids, and the reality of it is, the tough part for tennis is, especially here in the United States, we're in competition with football, basketball, baseball, and now soccer coming up really strong. These are all team sports where the experience is absorbed by the entire team. Tennis is an individual sport. And, you know, again, because the cost and the various things that are involved are so high, and there's a lot of pressure on these little kids, when you add the component of cheating, when, you know, the family makes a sacrifice to drive to a city, to spend money on a hotel, rackets, everything, tournament entry fee, and the kid is out there trying to do their best, and then now you add the component of cheating on there, it spoils the experience, and we may lose that child to another sport. And that's one of the things that, you know, with JGPT, we have really sat down, thought about how do we fix this? How do we grow the game? How do we make every single experience positive for the child to bring the child back into the sport, and they want to be a lifetime member of tennis? So this is something that, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I hear what the parents are saying. I too am not only a coach, but I am a parent, and I've experienced some of these infractions and unfortunate cheating situations myself. And it's a big problem, but we're going to fix it for sure.
I love it. Well, Andre, I know you have to get back to work, but is there anything you want to add before you head off?
No, I got to thank you for pushing this, because I'm trying to tell you, the Wheel Sliced Bread Junior Grand Prix Tennis, I mean, this is the best thing. It is going to change the face of the game, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. You know, again, we truly appreciate your support. You can call me anytime. I'll be willing to answer any question for you. When we launch our first Academy Series, I definitely am going to call you back to, you know, to give you some of the information about that and some of the players that we're going to be having. I want to do an event. We're probably going to have the press come in, probably trying to get the mayor to come in, you know, to kick the launch off. So I definitely would expect your support on that. Thank you very much.
You've got it, Andre. Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, Steve and Dave, thanks for being patient there. I wanted to give Andre a chance to talk about what he's doing with Junior Grand Prix Tennis. So I had asked you before Andre called in about hosting the higher level events. Dave, explain what he's working on. Steve, I didn't give you a chance to address that, so I want to give you that opportunity now.
Okay. This is David again, not Steve, and I just wanted to say, look at the spectrum that's involved here. My club, we're talking about the very ultra-beginning tennis, bringing kids that have never played, getting them to play tournaments in 8 weeks, teaching them about round robins, making sure that every single thing they do is fun. And then you look at Andre's passion, and he's got the higher academy kids. I think the spectrum's really larger, and I'm very, very excited about it. Steve, do you have any thoughts on Lisa's question?
No, that was really good. I was just going to say something similar, that it's really neat that you have three different, you have an apple, an orange, and a pineapple here, and you have many different perspectives, and I'm at the starter level at the current time, and I am, my next step is to host a competitor event, and you have someone on the phone that's already done a competitor event and is looking for the next level, and now you have somebody who's giving you a big picture on how the future is going to be. So I think it's fantastic. But just to answer your question, I am at that starter level, and we are looking to host a competitive event coming up very soon. But it is neat that the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. And that's just something I think that's unique to Junior Grand Prix. The right hand knows what the left hand is doing. You have three different types of systems going on, but it's all in the hub of one system that's flowing very well from start to finish. So I think it's kind of neat that all three of us come from three different perspectives, but yet we're still speaking the same language and on the same page.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to just say one other thing about that, about what we do. It is so simple to take these kids into their first tournament now, where before it might not be as simple, and I'm not dissing or cutting down anyone. All I'm saying is when you join a soccer team or a baseball team or a football team, I don't know if they do that at six, when you're 6, 7 years old and you've never played a tournament, you go in and you're going to get into a game. Parents don't come to watch necessarily practice. Parents want to see their children competing in a game, and I think it's what's been missing in tennis. I want to applaud the people that have brought in the red, the orange, and the green dot tennis to our great nation. I want to applaud those people. Now it's time to take the next step. It's time to be absolutely 100% open door encouraging to any single child that ever wants to come and play the sport of tennis and learn to compete. And to answer one more question, Lisa, about why we are so weak in the professional era right now of the United States, our pool has gone down for the sports. We are not allowing every single athlete out there to do that. If you look at basketball and some of these kids that are getting full rides to Duke and other schools, they come from places that are so poverty-stricken, and they come in, they get the full ride, they play professional basketball, and some right there they have a life. I personally do not believe that we are allowing that in the sport of tennis, and it breaks my heart. And I think JGPT is an answer to that, to be honest.
Great.
That's terrific, Dave. Yep.
We have another caller on the line. I just want to give this person an opportunity from area code 813317. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, is this Chris?
This is Chris Carey.
Hey, Chris. You got the next tournament. Okay, sorry.
Thank you for calling in, Chris. And I understand that you are also hosting some JGPT events, and I would love to hear from you about your experience so far.
Okay. We hosted one about a month ago. It was our first time. And, doing events similar over the years, being a first-time event, I was expecting probably around 12. And we had 34. And we did both the competitor and the beginner level. And everybody liked it. And what surprised me, because I've done tournaments in the past with the standard 2 out of 3 sets, was how well was taken the format of just 5 games. In fact, I had to be coached on that because I normally, in my normal way of thinking, I would not have done that. But that seems to be, to me, what this particular group is needing. They need an introduction, not only with the yellow balls or the orange balls and red balls, but they need an introduction with time. And my son plays tournaments, and we're prepared to spend the entire weekend, but not everybody is.
Right.
And that's, to me, what everybody really praised the events. And not only were they happy that it was short, they were asking when the next one was.
Yes.
And I'm curious, because I know JGPT is still very new. What do you think the time frame is going to be for the players who really are, who have their sights set on playing high school tennis, playing college tennis? What will be the time frame for them to move through the various levels? I know it's going to be different for each child, but maybe you can generalize it a little bit. As they move from the beginning levels, the starter levels, up through to the types of tournaments that Andre is looking to host.
Are you asking Chris or anyone?
I was asking Chris, just because he's new at this.
No problem.
Yeah, if I understand the question correctly, I mean, I think that has less to do with tournaments themselves and probably just more with the development that that the brain requires. You know, most people are reading books now and it's talking about 10,000 hours. I mean, tennis is no exception. You have to hit a ball a lot of times to get up to that level, regardless of tournament format or coach. And I just think, you listen to the other callers, having a pavement where you can lay it out, A, B, C, and D, is the answer. And I think that Junior Grand Prix tennis is going to be able to do that really well.
You know, it's interesting because one of the real reasons that Parenting Aces even exists is because I was so confused about the pathway that my son should take as a player. And there's so many different choices out there, but nobody really could explain to me the pluses and minuses of the various options. With JGPT, it seems there is a very clear-cut pathway from entry level all the way up to the highest elite levels of the sport. And I'm curious, and I'll open this up to all three of you gentlemen, what are you hearing from the junior coaches? What are you hearing from the families about the clarity of the pathway here?
Well, I'll jump in, Chris. I to be honest with you, at my where I am with running my second one this weekend, I haven't heard a lot of that. But I can just tell you more of what I see there is the pathway is there, and it's easily, I mean, you look at the website, it's just clear for anybody to read or to see that it goes 1, 2, 3, and 4. I think that's, I think where the industry has come up short before was there wasn't a place for people who had late starts to jump in. And what I mean by that is maybe you started when you were 12, and then everybody your age had already been playing since they were 8. Well, you jump in, you get discouraged, and I think this does, the Junior Grand Prix Tennis does give you a path all the way up to the top level like they're asking, but it allows people to start later and be encouraged and go from wherever they are. So a 14-year-old boy who's athletic, maybe he started last year, if he goes to our standard tournaments that we had before, he gets blown away, and then he goes home with his shoulders down, and he goes back to basketball or soccer or something else. But this gives him there's so many. I'm a high school coach as well, and this gives all those kids that, and there's thousands of them that were left out of the enjoyment of tournaments. And it gives them hope that they can jump in there and at least have a step two and a step three and go as far as they want to go from there.
Right. I think that's a huge piece of the puzzle here with Junior Grand Prix tennis. And it's interesting. I had on the show a few weeks ago the gentleman that's hosting the New Balance High School Championship Tournament. And this is the first time this event will happen. It's happening in July on the Harvard University campus, and it's strictly for high school tennis players. And they're really hoping to introduce these kids, like you're saying, Chris, to tournament tennis in an environment where they're not getting blown away, but rather, are having an opportunity to play against kids who are of like levels. They're using the Universal Tennis Rating for that event. And I think that tennis experts, and I'm putting that in quotes, all over the country are recognizing that there's a big problem, and especially, as you said, Chris, with those kids who may come to tennis later than their peers, and feel intimidated. Now Junior Grand Prix tennis has opened up an opportunity for them to jump into competition where they are and feel comfortable that they're going to be able to be competitive with the kids that show up at the event. Okay, so we're winding down, gentlemen. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that I give each of you an opportunity to share your thoughts. Is there anything that I've neglected to ask you that we need to touch on in these last couple of minutes?
Well, this is David. Lisa, again, thanks for having us on. I'd just like to give a testimony of a young boy that came to our program. He was 14 years old, just like Chris was talking about. He'd never played tennis. His name is Daniel, and he knows he's listening to the show, I'm sure, his mom is. And he came to me never having hit a tennis ball, a left-handed kid, and I took him through the rigors of our foundations of learning, and he played his first JGPT 10 weeks after he started with me. And he played a JGPT event that was not even at our facility. When we had our tournament last week, he actually missed it. But he's ranked 26th in the world in the 1400 JGPT. Now, he checks that site weekly and is absolutely addicted to the sport at 14 at a beginner level.
That's fantastic. That's what it's all about, right? I mean, it's about getting somebody like Daniel involved in the sport and having a place for him to be competitive.
Absolutely. That's what was missing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going to take this from a different perspective just to kind of end things. This is Steve. And I'm going to take this from a tournament director's standpoint. Tournament directors actually have a good communication with one another. I am seeing a movement in Orlando with the Junior Grand Prix that I've never seen before, and the movement is this, is that pros now are communicating with one another. Pros are supporting each other. And I'm just going to give you an example. This past weekend, we were not designated to do an event, but I actually collaborated with another tournament director from another location. She brought her kids over and had my site as a host site to create a little variety. And we had such good communication with one another, it was an easy decision for me to make. And I would say as a testimonial, but let's talk about the community that we're creating here in East City. This system absolutely, just like Andre said so well, it's inclusive not only to kids and families, but it's also inclusive to tournament directors themselves. We are improving our communication system.
we are turning tennis, which, you know, from its ideas is individualistic, but we're turning an individual sport into a collective sport as well, where we are collectively getting with each other, collectively supporting each other. And if you do this at this level with other tournament directors, it's only going to trickle down to everybody else, and the system is going to run more smoothly. So I want to take my testimonial. Dave, that was such a great job with that child. But having a tournament director's perspective and communication with one another as well is what's going so well with the system.
Fantastic.
And, Chris, I handed out your flyers at my tournament.
So there
you go.
Thank
you very much.
Cool. That's awesome.
All right. Gentlemen,
that's the way it works.
We've come to the end of our time together, and I actually have to hit the road and get out to Athens for my coverage of the NCAA semifinals today. So I hate cutting us off, but I want to thank you all again for joining me on the air today. And for those
of you listening,
I hope you learned something. Please check out Junior Grand Prix Tennis. The podcast will be online probably not till tomorrow, because I think I'm anticipating a very late night in Athens tonight. But it will be online tomorrow morning. And thank you again for being with us and sharing this wonderful system. It's all for the good of the kids. So best of luck to you moving forward. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you. You too.